This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
What up, potty people? It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene Pearl, and I'm Danny V. And you're you, and you're here, and you've come again for the meat, and we're going to give it to you.
Luckily, your name, like the V, the Valdez, really works for you, because what happened if it was like Danny K or Danny R?
Danny R
would be bad. You wouldn't be Hollywood Dan if you were Danny R.
No, Danny
A would work.
Danny V. You know, I thought, V's, do you think better. It's too late to change, to do a stage name?
What would it be? Never too late to do anything in life, Danny.
It would be like Daniel V or something.
Ooh, no, Danny V is better.
Like Danny V. Danny V is sort of a radio vibe.
Yeah.
But Daniel, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis.
True. Daniel is a more intelligent.
It has a higher loft.
Daniel, my brother.
It has a higher thread count.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Okay.
So I've got something to bring today. It's a little teleprompter, but it actually wasn't for you. It was for me.
Okay.
Journaling about my marriage.
Oh, I love a good marriage.
But then I thought afterwards that it really has a good celebration point for a few things that you guys are going to hash on with me. Kind of practical, THM-ish even.
All right.
TH-ish. You know, trim healthy. We're kind of just dropping the M.
Sometimes we are and sometimes we leave it
in. Well, just so that Dan can be involved, you know, trim healthy.
You're bringing old Sam into this?
I'm bringing old Sam into this, but it's so G-rated.
Mr. Yuck Yum
so
himself?
So PG. There's no R involved. The first line you might think, oh, freak out, we're going into R. We're not going into R.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's,
okay.
That's too bad.
I like a good PG. I don't like G. G's not spicy enough.
Yeah,
so
G's
spice
boring.
It up a little bit.
Yeah, where are you at? Are you PG?
I'm a PG-er.
Not PG even 13?
I don't like when people drop the F word. Like if you go to if you watch a movie, if you go above the PG, the F word's every few seconds. And then it starts to get annoying.
Is that R for you?
Yeah,
because PG 13, they'll...
They drop one.
Oh, is it one?
You can deal with one.
Yeah.
John's like, you guys are ridiculous.
John Sovereign's like, well, why even do any of it? Why don't you just go make a copper vessel?
What if we had like one swear word like per podcast?
Yes.
Like we had to keep the guidelines. Like we had to. It was the law. Would you do it?
No. I don't curse. I'm not a curse.
If it was the law, we would not have a podcast.
No,
is that
I
what
wouldn't
you're
curse.
I don't think cursing is like sinful. I just wasn't brought up doing it. So my children know me.
Yeah.
Like I didn't allow cursing in the house.
Have you ever done it?
Well, when you rhyme write a song, you do it by accident.
No, see, I'm not a... listen, it's just so weird.
You would never?
I don't.
And you
I
have
haven't.
Never?
I have... No, I've said some of the ones that aren't so bad. Like, us. Like...
No, we only say that. Pearl and I say that together.
Yeah.
We don't say it. No, we don't say
it.
Listen!
I made it happen.
No, Dan, we don't say it to our family, to our children, to our husbands.
We say it
to
each other.
When Pearl and I are talking about health...
Crap.
We go to the sites
Hooey.
Sometimes that the bodybuilders,
the bros.
You know, the bro sites, and they say arse. And when we
they
talk
don't put
about
an R
they
in
don't
there.
Put an arse.
When we
that's,
talk,
that's British, right, Leslie?
They
when
don't
we talk
hit the
about
R.
things, we learn
arse.
Yeah, we say that word.
Serena
for fun.
And I say to each other, hey, get your ass over here.
You say this?
Like if we're bro talking, yes.
But she brings it out of me and I bring it out of her. But
so
our husbands,
our husbands
we say
look
it.
At each other like,
and
like,
you
what
sound
are
so
doing,
wrong.
Right?
It sounds like my 2-year-old just said it. And it's cute. It's like cute. Like it's not even offensive.
So
like
now when, already we're PG on the show.
So it's like when Sam went overseas, right? And he was like we're contracted for the military over in Kuwait. And it was just a bunch of people from different
sailors.
Nations. Like,
sailors,
you know,
dude.
Yeah, that were just like had nowhere to go but into the hottest part of hell, you know, in Kuwait. And he said all these British people were saying shite all day long. And he's
shite.
Like, it was just so innocent.
Yeah,
shite.
It's like cute.
Shite. Yeah.
But I don't say it. Like, I always say it to my children. Like, I don't say the word S-H-I-T. Like, they're like, oh, Mum's spelling the curse words.
But you've said it in your head.
No, no, she'll say, oh, pukenaka.
Yeah.
That was a big one growing up. She makes it up. She makes her own
Neither
thing.
Of you will even cuss in your head.
No,
it's not
it
in my head.
It doesn't come to your head.
It doesn't come to my head.
Like on your worst.
Never. I don't ever, even if I'm so mad for some reason because we weren't brought up cussing, it doesn't enter my head. Now, strangely, it does enter my older son's heads. So they got it from somewhere, but it wasn't from me.
They got YouTube. It from the American husbands, probably.
They got it from YouTube. I'm 100%. And arse. If we used arse routinely, would that be okay?
Yes.
Arse doesn't bother me.
And like, yeah.
Arse. Like, it's so weak. It's so, the Brits are so, like, for their language, they are so weak.
They're spelling you. Okay, let me read my teleprompter. I'm reading.
Shite. It's like, who can even be intimidated by that?
Okay, well, listen, so I'm going to read, okay? I'm gonna do an Obama read on my teleprompter.
Okay, good.
Because it wasn't for you guys. It was a thought that I had about my marriage this morning, and I wanted to capture it. I wanted to elaborate it. The boys are talking and they're laughing. Distracting.
Just don't look at them. Look at me. I'm listening.
Yeah. And so I thought to myself, I want to write this down because as we grew up with the saying, you know, thoughts disentangle themselves when they cross through lips or pencil tips.
Yeah.
And so sometimes if I write something down, the thought will elaborate. And I wanted that. And then as I was going through it, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to bring this today because we've been busy, Pearl and I. Yes. We've been so jolly busy with new ventures happening with TH and all the businesses underneath that.
Do you abbreviate it THM? It's already abbreviated. You call it TH.
TH. Okay, let me start my PG. You ready? Okay. There shall be no arse in it. None.
No arse.
All right. I rolled over in bed this morning and cuddled into my husband's arms and had this thought that we just fit so perfectly. Like we were made for each other. Like my being and his being were always meant to be a pair, to be matched. Like my whole life before I met him was being shaped for this other shape. So different, almost opposing, but nevertheless, the perfect match. This began my conscious thinking this morning. When the grogginess wore off, I started thinking less fairy tale, but still so overwhelmed by the truth of our perfect oneness. Perfect? Could I use this word? Yes, we fit so perfectly, but was it because we were perfect individual pieces? Far from it. Well, at least that is my perspective of myself. Definitely, I'm not perfect. Was it because my emotions, personality, don't worry guys, I'm getting to you, okay?
I'm just liking this, shush up and keep reading.
Was it because my emotions, personality, quirks, passions, beliefs, history, goals, hobbies, and dreams all matched his? Nope, that was not it. In a way, we shouldn't fit so nicely. If you placed us side by side in the eyes of a literal jigsaw puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle pro would not have chosen us to fit side by side. And I'm going to stop my little teleprompter for a second, just tell you a little story. I'm going rogue. When I was young, I used to dream of my perfect jigsaw puzzle piece that would fit me so nicely. I love to sing. And Pearl and I actually grew up singing the blues.
Mm.
And we loved Aretha Franklin and all those crooners.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, we did. Pearl actually sung the blues in a nightclub for years.
What?
Against our fathers.
And I still didn't swear. I still didn't swear. Yes.
She had a drunk pianist mm-hmm. who played the piano and she would sing on the Gold Coast because it was all, you know, nightlife. And she was a good little girl. She kept her goodness, but my father wasn't too happy about it.
She was
a nightclub singer. She wore these diamante dresses when she was like 18 and sung all the Fly Me to the Moon,
Blue
Moon.
But keep going back to your story.
Okay, but so I love the blues. Okay, so I dreamed of my perfect jigsaw puzzle piece and it was a piano player, not the drunk one, but it was, and I imagined myself married like in my silk nightie.
Was it Yanni?
Leaning against the grand piano that I would own and my man would be tinkling on the ivories. And I would croon and he would tinkle till all hours of the morning. This was my dream of my perfect match. Now.
Wait, what did he look like? Was it like a Yanni type? That's what I'm picturing. You know who Yanni is? Yeah.
Actually, I did picture more of a smooth cut guy. Now, my man I ended up marrying is a Marlboro man. He's rough, cowboy as it gets.
But I love it now. In your fantasy, did he have long hair or was it cut like military?
No, it was a little like a little oily and greasy across the forehead. Long.
He probably had a bit of the Latino Spanish.
Yeah, probably a little Latino.
Oh, yeah. It was bit of a, like Antonio.
I married a redneck Texan.
Yeah.
But it works.
But in your head, it was like Antonio Juarez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
De la Gruva.
He had a V last name.
Yeah.
He had a V last name.
Valadesi.
Hey, but anyway, but that's not what ended up happening. So back to my story. I started realizing why we fit the more I began to muse. We fit because of forgiveness, because of patience, because of tucking our own edges in a bit or folding them in or even cutting them away. We fit because we were determined to, because we clung together in the heat. Pearl's going to say too much cumin.
No, I'm crying. Oh, okay. I'm not cumining. This is so good.
Pearl hates it when I get too poetic.
No.
We clung together in the heat when the fires of life raged, so that we melted in together and started to form a more comfortable mold for the other to make their home within. We let life fuse us together and the problems of life make us more perfect for each other than before the problem arose. Problems made us fit. We fit because when the cold winds blew and icy storms came, where love became a decision, not a balmy vacation breeze, and we remained together, our substance that once would have drained off formed shape within the other's heart and became an enjoyable treat for the other, like a popsicle of love, a shape formed by the other we chose to stick with. We fit because we signed up to fit. We put on the shoe. We spent time wearing in the fit, working through the blisters, stretching out the leather until we didn't feel restricted or annoyed by the foreign clickety-clack of a first-time shod horse. We kept the shoe on till it was more comfortable being on than off. We fit because we stayed. We wore each other in. We fit because love spent long is like resin that fills in holes, cracks, and weak areas and makes the rugged smooth and the wood that would splinter like polished marble. Long love, constant love, changes the shape of even the mountains of painful protrusions that rub us wrong, like the constancy of water over time. We fit because we let the water of the other's love wash our dirt away. We let in forgiveness. We let in change. We let in even the pain of the water of love in a wound. We fit basically in the quintessential core of the thought because we chose, because we continue to wake every morning to choose each other. So anyway, that wasn't meant to be shared. That was meant to just be my little musing. But today, together here, I want us to celebrate pairs. Like, you know, the pod and the pod gang. So I want to talk about other things.
The pod and the pod gang.
The party? Like we fit.
Oh, we
together.
Fit.
Together. Yeah. Who would have thunk it?
No, right? Who would have?
Who would have thunk the copper sovereign
vessel? Who would have
vessel?
Thought that we'd been here with Dan Dan all these years? Yeah. Dan's Dan's quit stuff all the time. So have we. Who would have thought that sovereign, and Leslie Pop.
And good old Pops. Man, good old heathen Pops.
I know.
With
she
all
fits.
Of our scripture selves, we fit. I love it. So I'm celebrating pairs here. And like even pairs that wouldn't think like at first that they would look like they're the perfect jigsaw piece, like fats with non-starchies. Because people would think, no, the steak has to be with the spud, right? That's the fit. And I'm like, no, there can be another fit that through time is perfect.
Steak with broccoli or squash. I can't. I as much as I love a spud, if I'm having a steak, I want that broccoli now. I crave it.
Yeah.
A spud, man.
Yeah. So it's not the tinkling piano player anymore, Pearl.
Yeah.
Right? It's like I will take the redneck anytime. You wanted the businessman. I mean, you got the cowboy, right?
Yeah.
So you started out your life in Australia, spud and steak. Every night, right? Mm. But now, over time, you've learned the best match is your zucchini and you know,
and my steak,
your
together.
Steak, yeah, your broccoli,
so true.
And your steak.
Made them fit.
You made them fit.
Now I love the fit.
What about starches with the lean? Who would have thought? You know, who would have thought that? You
is that
know,
Lisa and I.
What was that?
Starches and the lean. He's in the metaphors wrapped up. Now she's
just
actually in physical.
Now I'm back into the physical.
Oh, okay. Right.
You know, like who would have thought the baked potato, like moistened with the stewed tomatoes and onions instead of oodles of butter.
Sounds yeah, who would have,
so who would have thought it? But Pearl, you make a gravy, you caramelize those onions, and you stew those vine-ripened tomatoes.
Yes.
On a potato, it's everything.
Oh, with a little bit of acid to that tomato, you like put a splash of balsamic vinegar or some kind of wine vinegar, and then you pour that over your potato. That tablespoon of butter can go jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm. Who would have thunk it?
Right.
Unlikely pairings.
Is that as bad as ours? Like that, who would have thunk it? Sounds like I'm almost swearing.
Thunk does have a little rank of a swear.
I would say thunk is worse.
But I want to talk about other pairs that I want to celebrate today. And I want you guys to chime in. I want you guys to think of pairs, right?
I don't want to think. I just want to listen.
The morning for breakfast. The perfect pair, right? Who would have thunk it? Leslie Pops didn't want to thunk it. Remember, Leslie Pops, you just wanted your coffee on the way to work, remember? But the morning for breakfast, it's a perfect pair for your metabolism.
Yeah.
And over time, you can make those edges match the busyness of the morning.
Yeah, I didn't used to love to eat in the mornings, and now I just love to.
With the obstacle of breakfast, you can make those edges fit. The stuck for the tweak.
Mm.
It's so true. If you're stuck, your perfect match is the tweak.
I love that. You know? That's so good.
The problem for the answer. Yay. If you've got a problem, do a cartwheel. Get your party on because there is an answer to be paired with it. You just have to find it, right?
So good.
The kitchen for the cook. If you have a kitchen, it's just waiting to be paired with you. Even if you're Alison Hartman, who's still sitting here from a post-party that she just did. The kitchen for the cook.
She's looking after kefir grains now.
That's right.
Who would have thunk it? Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Now, Pearl, I want you your help here. The lungs for the breath. So many times we have lungs and we don't even realize we're meant to breathe. We just do these half-hearted, little sharp, little swift little breaths that are killing us.
Shallow.
But the lungs are for the breath. Pearl, take it away for a minute.
Well, I've just, as you said that, I just remembered my deep breathing. You know, and we talk about so much of the necessities in life, and we get our eating covered and we drink our water and we try to get our rest in and we exercise and we forget we have to jolly breathe and we don't know how to breathe. And, you know, lately I've been learning to breathe, and breathing properly and deep breathing has literally pulled me out of a huge health challenge I was facing. As many of you know, I was facing Meniere's disease, and my answer to coming out of that slowly, little by little, has been breathing in God's peace and learning to breathe properly and slow breathing and breathing into the depths of my belly. And as I breathe out, just letting all that stress or whatever it is come out. And I'm doing this multiple times a day, doing this whenever I feel myself shallow breathing, whenever I feel myself stressed, whenever I feel myself overwhelmed and I'll be in shallow breathing. And then, so in Serena, we've been doing that in our Treasure Hunters group with others. And it's just so incredible. So I am for the breath, and I didn't know it. I didn't know it was a pair.
You're a pair. Your lungs are for the breath. And for anyone with ADD or attention deficit disorder, Dan.
Present.
Yes. It's that belly breathing that actually connects us to the information that we are trying to focus on.
Breathe in slow, Dan. Here's what you do.
Tell me.
Okay. So, you don't have to count.
Okay.
Just put your hand on your belly right now.
I'm here.
Don't try to make it washboard flat or anything. And just do a nice, feel it as you do a nice long breath in through your nose, always through your nose.
No, not the chest.
No.
The belly.
Yeah, the belly. It will go through your rib cage into your belly. Now, as you breathe in, feel your belly expand. Feel your hand go out.
I'm there.
Now, wash it out any way that feels good to you. And just do a season of those whenever you feel that anxiety coming.
Or lack of focus.
Yeah.
Because when we breathe like that, we are opened up to receiving the information that we're trying to focus on.
Readjust the whole limbic system. We can heal.
Through
just breathing. Yes.
Yeah. The muscles are a pair for movement. The muscles for moving. Like so many people have muscles and forget they have them and are just letting them rot through lack of movement. They are a pair. And sometimes, like we were talking about in another potty, sometimes when we start moving our muscles, we get anxiety and we're like, no, don't move. This is scary. I'm going to die if I move, right? This is not a pair for me. I'm not meant to be moving these muscles. I feel like vomiting after a half a mile, you know? No, the muscles are for moving. They are a pair, and as uncomfortable and unmatching as they seem like at first when we begin any kind of exercise habit, the beginning of it does not feel like they are a right fit at all, but the muscles for moving. The evening for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So many times, Alison Hartman, who's still here from a post-party. So many times we think the nighttime is when we really begin. I was talking to another mother the other day, and she was talking about how her messaging, texting starts coming alive to her friends 10:30.
Yeah.
You know, that's when she starts coming alive. That's when her friends, like 10:30, like the night is for sleep.
Yeah.
The evening is for sleep. The water's for the kidneys. You know, we all know it. We all know water, 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 that's healthy. But so many times, you know, we rush through our day. Maybe it's a coffee or a sweet tea or whatever. But I love seeing you, Pearl, lately. You always walk around with your quart of water. Yes.
I was about to bring it, but then I left it because I had to
bring my life. But it wasn't a habit for you. You knew all your life that water were for the kidneys.
I didn't know
that. But you never paired them personally.
I didn't.
You never paired them personally.
I love finding more pairs as we age, eh?
The Dan for the Hollywood. The John for the copper.
Did you write that down on your teleprompter? She did. She did.
Nice.
The Leslie for the Psalms. The week for the work. The week, what I mean by that, the week for the dialed in eating. I've always found that's a help for me. Like, see my Monday through Friday dialing it in. Mm. You know, I feel like that's a match for me. And then I see the weekend as a time to loosen my belt a little bit. You know?
Yes. Your loosened belt that's is very different from some other people's loosened belts.
I'm not talking about donuts and all that. But I'm just saying from Monday to Friday, I think, okay, where's my kefir? Where's my salad? Where's my protein anchoring at every meal?
Yeah.
You know, where's my nighttime snack? Mm-hmm. But at the weekend, I might be like, oh, where's my handful of nuts, you know, at 8:30 at night instead of like, where's my
trimacina? I love. I used to hate Mondays and now I love Mondays so much. Guess why? Because I love diving deep into the wisdom of structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I love getting my Monday morning breakfast, honing it in with carbs and protein and just setting up for the week.
But I learned it from you, Pearl, and that's why I wrote it down this teleprompter, because on our Treasure Hunters group, you bring it every Monday. You're like, show me your breakfast. Yeah. Show me your Monday morning breakfast. Because I think this is a wonderful pair here, you know, and you're calling it Monday. I call it the week, but I imagined it like that honing in, dialing it in on the Monday,
mm-hmm.
starting out that week, dial in. I think that's a pair for success.
It is.
Knowing that Mondays are for dialing in.
Yeah.
Mondays are for dialing in. And I think that's going to work for so many people. The head for peace, the head for love, the head for joy, the head for hope, for positivity.
And by that, do you mean mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the heart for God, right? We were created for that. And the heart for peace, for love, for joy, for hope, for positivity. We weren't created for fear. We don't pair well with anxiety.
No, we don't. The body doesn't.
With hopelessness. We don't pair well with hate.
The body decays with those things.
Yeah.
We pair well. The perfect fit is with those other things. That's why your whole homepage of peace, Serene Potty, that you did here has just resonated with me, because that's what I should be paired with.
And Pearl, just you vamp for a second too. The body for love, the vagus nerve. Talk for 60 seconds. Refresh us.
Yes. Well, the vagus nerve, when it's stimulated, it's our total anti-aging pill. It's our healer and it's in our body. It's the vagus nerve, and sometimes we turn it off. The vagus nerve can be turned on or turned off. Stress turns it off, but love turns it on.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Actually, when we're actually giving and receiving love to family members or to a person on the street, and it's not just, oh, I love you, and falling in love. It's what the studies have shown. It's the micro moments of love is the biggest vagus nerve activator. You know, in studies right now, they're trialing different things like vibrations to stimulate the vagus nerve and different things like that, because it's so healing for the body. But just the act of showing and receiving love is one of the biggest vagus nerve activators there are. Actually, another big vagus nerve activator is singing, though.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that's so true. The voice box is singing, and that does not matter if you can't sing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all. actually. Even if you sing out of tune, it still blesses your own body.
It does. Singing has been a very powerful tool for me, I think, because naturally I brought it here a little bit today, Serene, because I was just in too many meetings lately.
Yeah.
So I was feeling a little bit of down, a little bit of negative Pearl, old nature was coming through. But I used to be like this all the time, you know. Just down, half a glass, half empty person. But now I use singing as a tool. If I'm feeling that way, I force myself to go around the house singing, and I come out. It's like a force. It's like, you know, when you force yourself to smile, but the nerves actually tell your body you're happy, and you can come out of depression.
Yeah.
When I force myself to sing at home, it does amazing things for me. Like, it pulls me out of whatever funk I was in. It's really good therapy.
Oh, I agree. The other thing that we're made for, the body, is for thankfulness.
Mm.
I mean, even if you think you don't have anything to be thankful for, you can always find something. Even if it's just the fact that you've got 5 digits on your hand. And if you don't have that, you might have 5 digits on one of your feet.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a reason to be thankful. And thankfulness heals. That's a beautiful pair. And I want to go a little bit. It's not really R, but, you know, I'll bring an R minus. Because the world likes to put together false matches, and I want to fix it up. Like, you know, that you know, the unmarried bed is for romance. Mm. But that's the most beautiful pair, the married bed for romance.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people think, oh, the married bed is for snoring with our backs together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the married bed, 75 years in, what do they call it? The emerald? What is that wedding anniversary?
Emerald sounds good, though.
I think the 50 years is like the golden anniversary.
Yeah. And then there's an emerald. I think it's...
Oh, okay.
What are our parents up to?
They've done their emerald.
Have they done that? They haven't done their 75 years. No.
No, emerald must be 60.
I know they've done 70.
Pops Let's is see. Looking it up.
Let's see. Dad's 82. He got married, I think, when he was 22. So that's 60 years for them. They've had their 60th.
Yeah, I think they just had the emerald. It might be 60 years. Pops will tell us in a second. But
their marriage bed's still going.
Oh, it so is.
We have to hear about
it. Thanks.
How do we know?
Oh, 55.
Our mum likes to discuss.
Oh, yeah. And Pearl helps them out, you know, a little bit of bioidentical hormones. Yeah. Just hook them up with the right doctors.
I hook them up with the right peptides, medications. Here you go, mum and dad.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, when are you getting that more of that for us, Pearl?
And so mom comes and discloses?
Oh, no. Well, she's like, well, you know. She doesn't give details,
but she
just likes to keep it happening.
Well, I think I've shared it before on this potty.
They listen to this potty, by the way. They'll probably be like, oh, yes, right now.
Yes.
They'll be like,
"Now, I have shared
darling, aren't we great?
Hey, guys.
I have shared it before on this potty, but I'll just share it just once more, just in case new peeps haven't heard it. But I remember on a walk with my mum, and a couple had just gotten married from the Hilltop, young love, young passion. And mum was like, This is the day after the wedding. She's like, I just feel so sorry for them. Because I can't imagine just how not fine wine it would be to just have just your first night. Oh, it's so fun, you know, 50 years in. Yeah. You know, like, she gets this little blush look
on
her face.
And then she always loves to tell the story, mum, of when she was just newly married and she talked to this older woman and she said, well, you know, when is it the right time for the lovemaking to stop? And this woman was in her 80s and she goes, well, when it happens, I'll let you know.
Nice.
And my mum always loves to tell that story to everybody else.
Yes.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. And then one more, you know, because I just dropped my children off at my parents' house to be run on the field. You know, they have a big field in front of their house before I came here to the party today. And I looked at my dad, you know, the hoary head, the gray head man. And I'm like, that's a good pair. The old for the wisdom, you know. Because the world tries to a lot of young bucks think, well, the young bucks know it all, you know, but the old for the wisdom. And I think, you know, especially if the old have spent their years the right way, I feel like that's a beautiful pair. It pairs well. Anyway, that's mine. You can keep hashing. Anyone got another pair
for
to
the
celebrate?
Party. It's a great pair. Yeah, Leslie, come on, Pop.
Oh, yeah, Leslie Pop's got one.
I got like 4 or 5, but I'm going to stop. No, I've said this before to all of you and on the party, but To go back to Pop Samo's and the podcast, like I, hand on my heart, never knew a Christian before. Like maybe I did, but I never was, I just didn't, it wasn't in my life. Mm. And I didn't have the brain space for what it meant. Mm. And I'm not saying that I've changed, like I'm still Pasamos.
Right.
But you guys have taught me so much wisdom. And especially for my marriage. Mm. It's so cool. Like I'm like, I wouldn't have made it without you guys.
Aww.
We went on a trip and I was in a bad place, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
And now it's so awesome. So awesome. So I don't agree with you all the time.
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah.
And
don't
another one,
on a lighter note, I used to work such stupid hours. Oh my God, on the road.
You still work such stupid hours.
Well, no. Nothing compares, but it's. Yeah. I've filled it. I still fill my day.
Yeah.
Mornings used to be, oh God, I can't believe I haven't had any sleep. Like I can't face this day. I'm so exhausted. Yeah. How are we going to do this again? And I would come alive at night, like you said.
Right.
I'm so excited for mornings now. I love mornings. It's when I get all my stuff done. Like come like noon, like that's when I'm starting to like peter out. Like I get, I don't even have to set an alarm anymore. I don't know what happens as you get older.
No, it's not for everyone, but you've set your circadian rhythm and your eating habits and all of that. Because remember even a couple of weeks on the potty, you were like, I used to have all the different foods. And now, and you're like, I'm so boring now and I love it.
Yeah. and just very recently, after my mom visited and she was so, and you've always drilled in the breakfast thing. And my mom was like, oh, I'd go pick her up at the Airbnb and she would just force feed me. And she made me promise that after she left that I'd still find time for breakfast. And I was like, I promise. And I was like, I'm not.
Yeah.
But what I have started doing is I take a glass of water to bed at night. And when I wake up, I whatever's left, I finish it and maybe some more, because then the first thing that I'm having isn't like coffee.
Yes.
And then as I've furthered that, I've actually held off on my coffee so that I get hungry.
Ah. Yeah.
Because the coffee is such
it's filling you.
I'll be stuffed. I'm awake for an hour and I haven't if I don't have any coffee, I'm starving.
Ah.
And I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
So that's what I've tried to do.
That's interesting.
I don't know if that's a pair or not, but anyway, love you.
Love you, man.
That's so good.
I'm fantastic. A
crier today. I want to hear some more of the pairs of other people in this room.
I was thinking about how my son Daniel is 17 and he we've always taught dating is for married people.
Mm-hmm.
Kissing is for married people, physical intimacy is for married people. And so he finally this year was like, hey, Dad, you know how we've always talked about how I'm supposed to communicate with you and everything's in the light.
Yeah.
And, I don't have this little private light until I'm out on my own. I don't have a little private light. Well, I'm interested in this girl.
Ooh.
And I'd seen it for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this chemistry and of course, just never speak about it. You know, daughters of Jerusalem, by the mercies of God, I charge you, do not stir up love until it so desires.
Yeah.
And that's what I have to go around.
You can bring the scriptures. Hey.
I go around the school telling all the parents that, hey guys, just remember. And so what we did is we were like, yes, you can have a special relationship, but we're not going to call it dating because that means something and it looks a certain way on YouTube and on, so that word means something that you're not going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And instead, we can do this pre-marriage thing that I have in mind that I sort of pitched to the other parents at the school and they loved it.
Yeah.
And not that it would put pressure for marriage, just that it would fix the goal rightly. And that is that this creature is not for use, but this creature is for covenant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what those so creatures good. Are for.
That's yeah. great.
And so one of the boundaries is only physical touch that is fitting that you would do with another girl at the school in front of this girl or that you would do with a sister and no further for now. We're in level, we're on level one here. Okay.
But what did your son think of that?
Well, he just welcomed everything.
Really?
He welcomed everything. Yeah. I think because I've spent years saying like I'm really big on two of the laws of the universe, the laws of physics. And I've taught them not that one day God will be angry, but I've taught them that right now you will reap what you sow. Mm. And if you don't, there's physics in place.
That's yes.
true. And there's, there's, you know, the ancient world called it judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you don't like that word, call it effect, cause and effect. Yeah. You know, there's going to be repercussions when you drop the stone in the pond. It will ripple out and you may not be happy with it. And it may cost you decades of your life.
Yeah.
So hear your father's words. Mm-hmm. Oh, son, you know, I was like Solomon, you know, like hearken unto my words and don't think I know better than the ancient ways.
Yeah.
Don't be the first guy to try and break the ancient laws. You won't be it.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the boundaries is the touch thing. And what that does, the reason we do that, and I sort of pitched this to the dad of this girl and he was just electrified by it. He was like, oh my God. He's like, present it to the whole school. It's that good.
Yeah.
And what it does is, because we believe in energy, right? We believe in frequency. Mm-hmm. We believe in all this. When you get physical, the volume on the spiritual things, when you're not in covenant and you're pre, you're 20, the volume goes down on the emotional and the spiritual, and you're in a fog of physical.
Yeah.
And it creates movie level romanticism that can blind you to seeing whether or not this person is the right one to make a covenant
That's
with.
True. Yeah.
And so we want to give room for you to fall in love with her spirit.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't see her like her soul, you've not seen her.
Yeah.
And all you'll do is disrespect her.
It's so good.
I truly believe he should be going around the country these particular subjects you're very, very good at because it doesn't come across as all preachy, judgy, all like, you know.
It's not so the good. Rules of a religion.
No.
You know,
so pair it for me, Dan. I want you to bring it into this final. Well, I love it. You can bring it.
We're talking about good parents, right?
Yes.
I think the way. Oh, one other tidbit about this, right? So like the entire rainbow of light, the observable part that to the human eye is only 0.0035%.
Really?
A very small sliver of reality. Wow. Of all that's out there.
We can it's see not that. That
invisible light's a word that throws you off because it's almost like, well, it's not visible. No, the eye doesn't detect it.
Wow.
And that's a big difference. It's visible to someone.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Well, it's like we don't even hear frequencies that other creatures do.
Yeah.
Or even other humans do. Yeah. 7-year-old can hear higher pitches than we can.
Right, right. Well, and dogs, so people just figured this out. Like I just saw a documentary on Netflix, dogs can hear and even they hear with like emotion. And so they can sense your heartbeat and they will synchronize their heart to its owner's heartbeat.
And that's why they're such good medical, you know,
absolutely.
What they call them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they say that dogs can smell fear. They don't smell fear. They sense elevated heart rates.
Wow.
And so, you know, there's a reality out there that we only, I mean, just on the sight level, see 0.0035% of.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about divine pairings, and especially with someone you would make a covenant with, it is so, like, I was talking to a friend today, like, he was describing, like, physical features and what's important. And I was just like, man, that has a place, don't get me wrong. But, dude, in about 3 years after covenant, like, the charm and beauty has fled.
Yeah.
It's not that she's ugly now, but that... No. That is no longer as exciting. What's more exciting is that you are like bananas about someone and you have like what Serene just described with Sam. That's what lasts. That's what really matters. And so how we have this great, I guess, pressure or responsibility when we're young and we're thinking about somebody we might make a covenant with forever. And that's the thing is like today's marriages look more like contracts where there's an out clause. That is so destructive. I hate the marriage contract as John, as John does as well. The marriage contract is so silly. And instead we have this thing that's a covenant that is unbreakable. And even when things are hard, you receive them as the gift of God. Mm-hmm. Oh my, I have the thing that the universe and God and every angels have all been waiting for me to get over. And now my wife has brought the spear that is prodding me forward, encouraging me forward to get over this. Thank God.
It's a good way to look at it.
Thank God, not, oh, we're incompatible. No, no, no. Thank God that this has happened. And so it is so critical when we're thinking about pairing is that we need to close our eyes when we think about our spouse or a potential mate. And we need to, I'm not talking about food, unfortunately, right now. I'm talking about, the world, our modern country has sort of lost the spiritual man, you know? And so, you know, to a young person thinking about getting married, might not sit and close their eyes for a couple hours and ask for wisdom and ask for to see this person. Help me see, you know, but God help you if you're not falling in love spiritually with this person and seeing the part of them that is going to be a perfect pairing for you. And I'm suggesting that the only way to do that is not with your eyes, because again, they only see like 0.0035.
Well, if they're not going to do it, and it's true, Dan, but you know, perhaps it doesn't start out that way, but you're going to have to get that way after marriage then, or it falls apart. So it's going to be now or later, or it's going to be at some point.
And if you've made a covenant and you have not done so that way and it's time to do that now.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I heard someone say like, it's like once you get married, then it is the will of God for your life.
Yeah.
That person is, you know, because you've made this, like the covenant is so important. And I could talk for a long time about covenants.
I got a pairing.
Yes.
Real quick before we close. And I feel like the season is made for embracing.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Our life isn't stagnant. We walk into changing seasons, you know, especially in a woman's life. These seasons actually have physical beginnings and ends. Mm-hmm. Like with a man's life, it's not as much. It's kind of just flowing and you age. But like when we go from a girl, you know, we have a period and then we're suddenly into womanhood. We're literally tossed into it and it's in a time to embrace, you know. And then we get physically tossed into motherhood, you know, and it's challenging, but it's a time to embrace. If we fight it, we're miserable. And then we physically get thrown into menopause where we're no longer in that season of, you know, that time when we can procreate. We can't anymore. We're in a different season and it's a time to embrace. It's a beautiful time and there's things that we can do. And I think some of us get caught up in longing for the season's past, but I think every season is so beautiful if we look into it and just wring the joy out of it. There are challenges to cross in every single one, just like there is in motherhood. You know, we can learn the tweaks and we can learn the tips and we can learn ways to navigate each season. But each season is made to jolly well embrace and be the best. Be the one you're in is the best one.
That's the pair, the one you're in.
Yeah.
I love that.
The one you're in. The kingdom is now, people. Yeah.
Yes.
See ya.
See you.
Then I'll be true nothing, mama, to stay.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.